sits, he makes flowers grow.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Are you glad you're a child of light? Are you glad you are light? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just feasting. We're getting fatter all the time. We're just feasting. The word of the Lord is just so good, and I know you're glad to be part of it this morning. I know you're glad to be in the service. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys. Let's sing it one more time.
In dry places, He made.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give Jesus one more hand clap of praise. He's worthy this morning. Time. Look at somebody and ask him, are you really believe God's your oasis? Ask him that. You may be surprised what you hear. Is God your oasis this morning? Is God your, is he your fountain in a very dry land? He's our fountain of everlasting water. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Hallelujah. He's prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies. We're feasting from the King's table. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Oh, yes, God. He's your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Bless you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Glad to have all of you in the house of the Lord. Just such a tremendous honor to get to come back to His house once again. It's a privilege to come to the house of the Lord. A lot of folks get up and say, oh God, I got to go to church. If you're a real true son and daughter of God, you say, oh praise God, I get to go to the house of the Lord this morning. What an opportunity God has given us. Our prayer request this morning, Sister Phoebe Therese says to please pray for my friend's little boy who has been very sick in and out of the hospital. His name is Tristan. Pray that the doctors will be able to find out what's wrong with him. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. God's able to help that little child. We just pray that he would do that this morning. We'll remember Josh Wandell. I believe he's a principal of a school up here in Elizabethton, fighting ALS. And his testimony is that the Lord has got his situation in his control. He's a nominal Christian, but we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. May God honor his faith, that he would just reach out and be healed of this disease. Here's a prayer request that says to please keep two urgent prayer requests before the Lord for this time being. My situation included, plus a dear sister in the States who needs a major miracle. We both need the Lord to touch our lives. God knows all the details. Love you and may God bless. That's from a sister Ruth. I'll never get that name right, so I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, but God knows the name and we're just committed unto the Lord. Brother Amos is asking for the church to please remember me to pray for the evangelistic work and services being conducted in Pennsylvania. Routinely, they're going there and just an outreach work and evangelistic work. They're asking that we would remember that situation. Well, God's able to give them souls. If there's souls out there, may he go find them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jerry Phillips sends his sender. Please remember Wayne Phillips and his unit. They have gone to New Mexico for SWAT training. Could be dangerous. So let's just pray that the Lord would give them protection while they're there. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you believe that God is bigger than what your problem is? Do you believe that? We heard Brother Junior Davis's testimony last night, how God is just amazingly bringing him along. And well, we're just going to keep holding to the promise that he is healed by his stripes. Brother Junior, we're just going to believe with you that you have already received your healing and you're walking toward that healthy young man that you're going to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning, if you will. Brother Hirschbarger stayed over here in the services from down in Florida. We want him to come this morning. So glad to have our brother with us. Come and pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. invite His presence into this service because we need Him today, don't we? Amen. Amen, brother. God bless you as you pray over these needs today.
I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many believe that you didn't come in vain?
Amen.
Amen. God promised where there's two or three gathered, I'll be in their midst. That's His promise, not ours. It's also His promise that by His stripes we are healed.
Amen.
By His stripes we're delivered. We're set free. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together to pray over these requests, and let's take to our hearts and really believe it. Not just a ritual that we go through, but really take it to our hearts. Say, Lord, I believe You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You this morning. We want to thank You, first of all, for Your grace, Your mercy, Lord, that You have bestowed upon us in this hour by giving us such a message that You've given us that has brought us out of darkness. We thank You for that, Father. We ask, Lord, You forgive us of any sin. Unbelief, Lord. We pray that You'll take it away this morning, Lord. We want nothing in our lives, Lord, that would hinder our walk with You, Father. We pray that You'll clean us. Lord, make us ready for that time. We're walking in Your Word, waiting for that body change. But Lord, we want our soul to be changed first, to be ready for that hour and for that time, Lord. And Lord, this morning we bring these prayer requests that have been read. Lord, we ask God that, Lord, You know every one of them, Father. You know their names that was mentioned. You know the sickness. You know the need. We pray, Lord, that You will look upon each and every one of them, Father, this morning. Lord, may Your presence go to every one of them and touch them this morning, wherever they might be, Lord. May they realize that You are real, that You are there with them, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll heal the sick, Lord, and those that are in bondage. Amen. Set them free today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would open our hearts this morning to receive the Word. Lord, take every stone away. Amen. Every piece of a dirt clod or hard ground that needs to be worked. Lord, may You work on us this morning, Father. Open our hearts to receive that Word and change our lives, Lord. We commit this service to You. Ask be with the minister this morning. Give him the words to speak, Father, and give us ears to hear. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Want to recognize a couple of families that's visiting with us this morning. The Zoltan family and the Duche. Did I get that name close to being right? What? Doucette. Well, I was trying to be proper and I messed up. The Duchette. Where are you folks at? Raise your hand. God bless you. Give them a real nice hand this morning. God bless you. I guess that's what you get for being a hillbilly, trying to act like something you're not. But I've got every name so wrong before. What's one more? Sign up sheets over in the library. There's three things you need to sign up for. The bus trip to youth camp, the youth banquet, and the blood drive. You got to sign up. If you gave blood even before, you still got to sign up. Now, the word I'm getting, and I'm going to say this, but it's because it's a truth. It comes from a very truthful source, that the men seem to be the wimps on this drive. That you cannot stand the sight of blood. Well, you just go over there and sign up anyway. Because Brother Michael Bailey said if you didn't sign up, you could look for a white van at your house. The recruits are coming. And you may have to give more than a vial of blood when they get through with you. So let's participate, please. If you're going to participate in these things, please go sign up. You're lagging behind. Please take the time to go sign up. How many of you are going to sign up for something? Jimmy, you might as well call them and cancel it. Let's sing a song this morning. We wore this song out, but Brother Donnie's message last night brought this song to my mind, and I've just been thinking about it. There was a little girl in the Bible that was dead, and all the people were weeping. It was a very dark time, very sad time. But Brother Terry, when Jesus walked into the house, everything started to change. Darkness was turned into light. In your house today, there may be darkness. There may be clouds. There may be shadows. There may be things going on that you wouldn't have nobody know about in the world. But Jesus can turn on the light in your life here in this service today. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service today. Our God reigns. Aren't you glad you're serving a God that reigns? Praise the holy name of the Lord. Don't you just love him this morning? Oh, aren't you glad you can come into a place with all the cares and the weights of the world on you? You can release them and begin to relax in a presence that you can't find out in this world. You can't find on your job. Because you're serving a God that reigns in your hearts. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Brother Caleb.
Decisions I can't make on my own, and there are trials I can't face all alone. But you said you'd walk with me down life's troubled road, and you said, come unto me, I'll bear your heavy load. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are yesterday has come and gone, with my trials far behind, and I'm ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are
this morning, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring us the word of the Lord. I know you're looking forward to the preaching. God is so good to us. Amen. Let's enjoy it. Let's pray for our pastor as he preaches the word of the Lord. Are you going to pull on that gift of God? Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him.
Jesus. How many is ready to go into battle? This preaching just gets you in a mood. Say, come on, devil. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Christian man, now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die.
Of it is, everybody's fighting for something. Amen. I'm just glad I'm on the right side. Amen. Let's turn again today to the book of Daniel, if you would. Book of Daniel, chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now I want to ask you something. If we would like to go by the way of the intellect and the human knowledge, and we would want to have any scientific proof or literary proof, or what other kind of proofs that you would desire, could we actually prove this happened? Since we only have Daniel's word for it. But you mean to tell me you folks believe this is the truth? Really? But there was nobody there to witness this now. So we only have Daniel's word. I just thought I'd scorch the devil right off. Just fry him really good. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now you realize we have no other references in the entire canon of the Old Testament that teaches such theology, that demons have dominion over empires. One man? One prophet of God? just another stinger for the devil. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 19. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. So now he was fighting before. He breaks through with the help of Michael. Now he's delivered the message to the prophet. Now he's going to go back and fight again. I will return to fight the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask your help today in this service. I pray that we would be enlightened by your presence to this nether world, to this place that is around us even this very morning. We are grateful for the most part that most of us never have to deal with this world seeing it, because we probably couldn't handle it. But it helps us to know that it is there and the way that it works somewhat. So may we be benefited today. May we be enlightened as soldiers in this warfare. Speak to us of thy ways, dear God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I can't say that I understand what it was that happened. The Bible, I've never been able to find it, and nor have I actually found where the prophet ever said that caused the jealousy to begin in Lucifer's heart. But knowing that Lucifer and Michael must have been on a similar position in heaven, and that Michael was actually given a charge, a portion of God's inheritance, and once this happened, then Lucifer begins to raise up from within himself a jealousy. We know how that is, that some folks can only handle promotion whenever the promotion is for them. They can never handle anybody being promoted beyond themselves. Some preachers can't handle it that they don't preach everything first-handed themselves. Some singers can't handle it if people clap 2.5 seconds longer for John Doe than they do for Jim Doe. They just can't handle that sort of thing. So the Bible is silent, so there's no need for us really to surmise and suppose. But there must have been something about the allocation of Michael that had moved upon Lucifer's soul from within him to where this jealousy arose, and then gave him what he felt like was a substantial foundation for a revolt in heaven, to be able to declare a war. We know that God, of course, knew that this would happen. He unfolded it actually in the order of the Spirit of God brooding upon the face of the earth. Lots of God's ways, of course, are mysterious. But yet as you watch God in the way that he does things, we can see his mannerisms and see the way that he does, and it declares his way. If you notice here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now here, of course, the sun, the moon, the stars are already in existence. God is not actually making them, but it is God bringing the expulsion of darkness upon the face of the earth. And you're always seeing the way that God does this. It gives us a little insight once we look in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and we look and see what Satan did, that God is actually showing us a preview of what's going to be upon the earth in the way he does this. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So when God begins to use the star as it was, and Moses, of course, picks up on the earth, and it looks as if though that almost an annihilation has happened upon the earth. The earth is not coming into existence just initially in these stages, but it's as if though something has happened to the earth, what people call the pre-Adamite world. Something has happened maybe in the fall of the angels, and something upon the earth here is now rendered by almost a desolate type of state. So the Spirit of God begins to move and brood over the earth, and when he does, the darkness is prevalent, and the darkness is here, hanging over the earth. Yet there's seeds beneath the water, and God wants to make the earth something usable for his glory. But instead of God actually dispelling the darkness and totally eradicating the darkness, what God does, God says, let there be light. So the light begins to move upon the earth, and the light simply separates into two dispensations. So one dispensation he calls day, and the other dispensation he calls night. Now, instead of eliminating totally the darkness, which he could have done, and he could have made it an absolute 24-hour day, so there would never be any night whatsoever. There'd never be one ray of darkness, there'd never be any element of darkness, but God is showing us here the future tense or the future work of what will happen as the creation is starting to unfold on the earth. You follow me so far? Now, what he does whenever he makes this, he allows two dispensations, so he calls one day and the other he calls night. And one of them is dominated by light, and the other is dominated when the light will go upon the face of the earth. And it will be, of course, we will find later that it will be as the earth moves around and spins on its axis. This, of course, before she's tilted on her axis, so she's still standing upright, and the temperature is going to be all the same around her. But it's actually, he's got it to where in the evolutions of her moving around her star, the sun, that she will move to where that God won't have a sun on this side and a sun on that side, but actually she will rotate in this, what is it, under the law of contrast. So God's showing us that as he's going to move on the earth and use the earth, it will be under the dispensations of day and night. He does not destroy the darkness, but he leaves the darkness, but he isolates it and puts it in its own dispensation, which he will call night. Now Satan, of course, watching this, now remember by this time, Satan, he's changed from Lucifer, and he's now become the devil or Satan. He is now cast out of heaven. But yet there was no earth into existence. So as he watches, as God begins to expand his creation from the heavens, from the universal heaven, and he expands it toward the earth, and he finds he's looking for a place to go to. Now, no doubt he'd already been cast out of heaven, but he was cast into a dimensional habitation. It was a place where he was able to abide, where angels of God can go to. They move, they travel back and force, light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. God not only made tangible things in molecules and atoms, as science has declared it, but God created dimensions by which later science would find out. And that is light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. So when God cast them out, then they went where? There was no earth, there was no Jupiter, there was no Mars, so they had to come out of heaven into what? A dimension by which that dimension would hold them until there would come a place where they could come to the earth. And of course they did. God, knowing that that would happen, God not only made the heavens and then went from the heavens and made elements as far as the earth and the planets and stars, but God made dimensions by which he would use later on for thousands of years. In those dimensions would be those things which would journey. Now the humans on the earth would have very little idea about those dimensions. They would be declared years later. Yet the prophets would have availability to that dimension, as so would angels of God and fallen angels. Now they were created to where they would have access, where they could move through light, move through matter, move through time, and they'd be able to move in tangible things as it would come on the earth. I hope y'all hearing what he's saying this morning.
It would move through molecules and matter and light and time, but they would also have the ability to move in realm which would be unseen. So they would, by special creation of God, they would have the ability to move and influence the world that you and I would live in. I'm going to tell you something, friend, right here today, we're under the influence of an unseen, unknown world. Now, I say unknown to that's the majority of the world. To those that's been quickened by the Spirit of God, we realize it is there. We may never have much access to it, but yet we know it's there, and we can feel the influence, can we not? Now, you think when God decided to do this, he knew all along that Satan, what he would do. He knew he would fall from being Lucifer, Daystar, son of the morning. He knew that whenever, whatever it was that happened there in heaven, and God allowed Michael, and whatever it was that he allowed, Michael in this position or this dispensation, and Satan did not just challenge God, but he challenged Michael and his angels. That's why the prophet tells us in the Feast of the Trumpets that in the last days, the battle will wind up again, and it will be Michael and Lucifer again. Now think, here was Michael and his angels which fought a war against the devil and his angels. Now they were going to be placed to where they could choose, a probationary period, if you will, to where these angels would have the right to choose. God would make them where they would have the choice. They would be able to choose right from wrong. They'd be able to choose to stay in the kingdom in their original habitation by which God had given them a hierarchy. Now in that, they would have the choice of apparently being a being where they would like have a soul or have a spot for a soul, to where they would be able to know right from wrong, and from that they would make their choice to leave what God gave them. You understand what we're dealing with right now around the ranks of the message? It is the further extension of the apostasy of the fallen angels. The fallen angels, it wasn't that they were smoking and drinking and running around. They were being apostatized by Lucifer, who left the original expression of the word. Now, the kingdom of darkness, as we looked at it last night, then has in it these different realms of principalities. It has powers. It has rulers. It has spiritual heavenly places, in the sense that once everything on the earth fell. Now, we know that there's really no access that Satan has to the entire system of the universe. It was not the universe that was actually placed under the man on the earth, but it was the domain of the earth that God had given to Adam. So Satan does not have access as far as to control the universe. He's not really concerned about Jupiter, Mars, Pluto, Neptune, Sirius, all the rest of these things, but it was the man's domain which was focused upon the earth itself. Now remember, God cannot destroy the earth because the earth's name is in this book of life right here. God calls the earth's name and had it wrote in the Bible. And the earth was actually the reciprocated part, or the female part, which would receive the spoken word from the house of God. God needed a place to sow his seed. Oh, glory. And the earth, he made a female, a woman, and this planet earth received the seed of God. And out of that female then came our bodies, came the plants, came the animals, came, oh, hallelujah, out of that earth. And the earth received God's seed. That's why God cannot annihilate this planet and make another one. She must be redeemed. Watch this in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. To the intent, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. Now remember, when Paul uses these words, it can be used in two ways. It can be used to express the fallen angels. It can also be used to express those angels which are elect, which have stood in the presence of God and remained in their original habitation. And yet God chose the church by which he would be able to display his manifold wisdom in order to prove in the hierarchy of the heavenly places. I know it's absolutely overwhelming, but can you imagine a demon standing there as a prince of Persia, and the angel Gabriel could not go past him without help? And a son of God can stand on the earth, or a daughter of God in this last day, and in the presence of God has more authority than an angel of God that never said one curse word in his life? Do you see what the blood of Jesus has done for us? Do you see what the Holy Ghost has done for us? What Gabriel could not do, you can. Oh, hallelujah. What the angels of God could not do, the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you that authority. So when the night is left on the face of the earth, the dominion of Satan is declared that it will one day have an effect upon this earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light. So light is my daddy. I'm a child of Don and Betty Reagan. You're not going to tell me they're not my parents. I am not. I am their child. I am a child of humanity. That's why I don't bark like a dog. That's why I don't neigh like a horse. Come on. Why? Because I am not a horse. My daddy was not a bull. My mama was not a cow. I am a human. If I am a child of light, don't you understand why folks can accept this message and never be born of it? They can accept the doctrines. They can even accept Brother Branham. But they never become born by this word, and they'll never be a child of light. They'll only walk around the light and fellowship around the light, but something will get them eventually. But if you're a child of light, there's not enough devils out of hell. There ain't enough preachers. There's not enough darkness to keep you away from truth. Can't you understand, friends? The sun is setting on the message. The sun is setting on the Gentile dispensation. The darkness is gathering. All these websites, all these people, all the things that's going on, the things out here in the world. Can't you see what it is? The sun is setting on the evening time. It is their hour. It is their time. God did not eradicate the night. He allowed the night. Notice as Paul says, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Night is made for crickets, roaches. I like light, don't you? I'm a child of the day. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm not a child of night. Can't you see why Satan hates light? Especially the light of the day. Why? The light of the day exposes the sin of the day. If I would preach Luther's message, I'd hardly have any enemies. If I preach Pentecost's message, if I just preach the hunky-dory, lovey-lovey thing of Laodicea, my, we'd have to have a church 10 times this size. They love our music. They love my gift, as long as I didn't bust nobody's hide. But part of my gift is busting hides. Why? Because I'm anointed with the light of this day. And the light of this day exposes the sin of this day, the darkness of this day. First Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the way you feel about this truth. Marvelous. Amen. Marvelous. It ain't a drudgery. It ain't a boredom. Oh God, I'm in the message. I'm so sad. Marvelous. Wonderful. Magnificent. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now watch. No drinking. No adultery. No pornography. Praise the Lord. No honky-tonks in heaven. God wouldn't allow it. No prostitute houses. And yet they sinned. How did they sin? What did they do? Now, did God look at them and say, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. Now, listen carefully. There is no redemption for angels. Not one drop of blood was shed at the cross for angels. It was shed for humans. Angels have one opportunity, and that's all. Now, here is God that's now, Peter giving us, along with Jude, the inside of something that happened where Daniel is able to catch an identity of something when the angel of God come to Daniel. Maybe Daniel had never even thought of such a thing before. They knew that realm was there, and they knew that it existed, but it was like a window. Now, notice what a prophet becomes. A prophet becomes a window, as it were, into the supernatural. Now, in this church, of course, we have several windows. You look around and see them, but as you know, you can't see out of them. You know why? They're rose-colored. They're not clear. But now if we pull the blinds on that door, those doors are clear glass and we'll be able to see out the door. When God had a prophet on the earth, it was as if though God used that channel in that man's life and God simply raised the blinds and that prophet would pierce through the glass and say, I see this, I see that, I see that. And then he'd come back and tell us, I saw this and I saw that and I saw that. Some made fun, some laughed at, and some said, praise be to God. I never even knew that realm was there. And then God would pull the shades again, and he'd look in there and say, there's this and that and the other. And he'd come back and say, I saw this and that and the other. Say, glory to God. Others say, false prophet Beelzebub. Now watch Peter as he goes back before the foundation of the world. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, neither their former rank, their dignity, their prior state of righteousness and holiness would now keep them from the judgment of God. God hates apostasy. Now he said the angels that sin, God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. I wonder what day it was, what stage of the creation, when God made this realm called Gehenna or Tartaro. Or what we call hell. So here's light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. So God creates this gulf, this place called hell. It is a place, a prison, vast. It cannot be measured by feet or miles. It is a realm, a dimension, if you will, by which God knew there must be a cell block for certain beings. Now remember, God does not create this after the fall. This is in his initial plan, knowing that he wasn't surprised, amen. Showing that he knew. Amen. Before there was ever a man, there was a plan. Before there's anybody lost, there was a cross. So none of this happened to God. God said, oh, I can't believe this. Oh my, I'm all upset. Oh, I'm tore up. I don't know what I'm going to do. God ain't never been tore up. There ain't nothing surprises my daddy. He knew it all before the world ever began. So God creates this place. A holding place. Now watch, Peter says, God spared not the angels, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. Now look at this word, thrusting them down to Tartarus. The word here occurs nowhere else in the New Testament, though it is common in classical writers. It is a verb form from Tartaro, which is in Greek mythology, the lower part or the abyss or Hades. So it is a realm that even the Greek mythologists knew existed, where the shades of the wicked or the lost go. So here God now anoints Peter to give us an insight of what happened to those angels. So they were cast into hell. Into prison. Now this actually answers to the Jewish word, Gehenna. Gehenna. So God cast them out of heaven. There was no earth. There was no Jupiter. There was no Mars. So God cast them into a dimension. And there they are in chains of darkness. You mean they're there now? Yes, they are there now. But what's amazing is being held a captive in that dimension does not mean they're held to that dimension only. Now notice what their chains are. Their chains are the mist of darkness. So it's not like that God has each angel chained down into Tartaro, into the abyss, the darkness, the realm of darkness, and there they have been for thousands and thousands of years. You never hear them, you never see them, and they're not able to do anything, but they are cast into a dimension that is near these four that we live in. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, he delivered them, Peter says, into chains of darkness, not chains of light. So God actually bans them from his presence. And he commands them after Michael had warred against them. Then God says, Satan, you and your angels, go into the abyss. So God bans them into this dimension, which will become Satan's headquarters. Now, while they are there, they will be bound with chains, not of truth, not of the gospel, but of darkness. Chains of darkness. What kind of chains would that be? What is darkness? What is it? Look at what darkness can be. An absence of truth. No way to know, find yourself around. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. There's no way for you to get out until something happens that illuminates where you are. So God puts them, and it's not so much a location that you'll be able to go and knock on the door, but it is a dimension that there they are chained into that dimension, and they'll never come out of there permanently. There they are kept. Now you're doing good. Don't get scared. You're doing good. Now notice, Peter says, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them. Lord have mercy. Think of the children. He delivered us out of that and he delivered them into it. Don't you see what it does when apostasy moves on an individual? That God will turn them over to a reprobate mind? Can't you see what God did to these apostate angels? God delivered them into the realm of darkness. With no hope. No hope of ever getting out. And delivered them into chains of darkness. To be reserved, kept. They cannot escape. Have they ever had any remorse? You wonder, these beings, did they ever wish they wouldn't have done what they done? Oh, how I wish I'd have never listened to that devil. How I wish I'd have stayed in the presence of God. But now there's no hope. They can't get out. They're held by chains of darkness. Their sins will never let them go. Now watch. Peter goes on. And he talks about people that become apostates. If you run this parallel to the book of Jude, you'll find that both Peter and Jude are talking about apostasy. They start with angels and they end up with human beings. Notice this in verse 17. Peter says, these are wells. Now he's not talking about angels, but he's talking about people who've known the truth and left it. These are wells without water. Wow. Wells, but they have no water. Now they got big mouths. And they open up, you know, any well has to have a mouth. So they've got big mouths, and boy, they say, Blaise, I'll tell you one thing, this and that, and then they got big mouths, but they ain't got no water. Come on, children, they ain't got no water of healing. They ain't got no water of deliverance. They're wells without water. Wells without water. Clouds that are carried with the tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So once they move into this stage of apostasy, they are now held, their soul, in the same sphere as these fallen angels. The apostasy has moved upon them to such a degree, there's no repentance. The mist has settled upon them. They can't find their way out. And most of them don't want out. What is it? The dimensions merge together. So it's like the unseen dimension of the abyss begins to merge so much into light, matter, time, and science that the first four merge into the fifth. Remember when Brother Brandon was a little boy and he went down, he was shot and he went down into hell and he saw them weary creatures down there in hell? And whenever he's sitting there at J.C. Penney's store in Tucson at the mall again, and he said, there I was back in hell again. Now remember when he would have been a 14-year-old boy and saw those things, women wasn't dressing like that on the earth. But that identity already existed in the regions of the lost. And the earth wasn't hardly ready yet for that dimension to empty itself out and the people personify and take on that look. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So if the fifth dimension is merging into the first four, and the people that live in the realm of carnality are taking on the dimensional look of the fifth dimension, surely God has something that He's doing as well. If Satan has become the worship person of this age, and it has been his church which gave him that position, the Almighty God must be doing something on the earth as well. Amen. Is not the sixth dimension there? Oh my, is it any wonder that we would marvel that the prophet of God said, when we heard from the word of God and we left the other thing and we recognized the word was eagle food, we heard from our theophany. What our identity and the other dimension begin to make connection with us here in this four. Light, matter, time, and science. Oh, glory. Watch John in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So if God represented in the creation or bringing the expanse of the creation on the earth and he made the first dispensation day and the next one he called night, then God is light and in God is no darkness at all. So darkness is not a creation. Creation is light. But God allowed, in the expansion of this creation, allowed the darkness to remain on the earth. He did not create the darkness. God is not the creator of sin. Sin is a perversion. Or you say, well, God made me do this. God didn't let me be saved. That's a lie. God is so merciful and loving that even if you're not bride and your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life, He gave John 3:16, whosoever will, let him come. You talking about the grace of God, His abundant mercy is so great, it spilled beyond the Lamb's Book of Life over into the Book of Life. What's this in verse 6? If we say then that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice again in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Notice the parallel now union between Christ and the bride. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. But where? On the earth? Oh no, they still have it. In your body? Your body still has it. But the darkness has passed from your soul. At one time I lived in the midst of darkness. At one time you was darkness. You was of the world. Come on, you might as well say amen. You loved it. Some of you used to love to drink. You love to smoke. You love to run around. But there's a little seed of light laying down in that earth. And one day the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And that little seed heard the voice of God. And it caused the resurrection. Hallelujah! And that seed in you raised to eternal life by the creative voice of God. You'll never go back to that life again. No way. Why? What did it do? It set in you the same cycle as it did on the earth. God divided your light from your darkness. First John chapter 2 verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Even until now. No matter how much a man says, I love God, I love so-and-so, I love so-and-so. If he hates his brother, he is in darkness. Now this is the difficult part. Because they actually look at themselves in the mirror of what they think is the word. And they think they're in the daylight. Because they hate, they despise. Remember the prophet told us in 1964, they would become hostile towards the message. As it was in the days of Jesus of Nazareth, he said, when they were hostile toward him, they will become hostile. Not just leave it and leave you alone, but become hostile toward it. Same spirit that was on Cain. They want to kill and murder. They want to murder the prophet. They want to murder the message preachers, and they want to murder you. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. Oh my. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Not only in darkness, but he's actually walking in darkness. This is his everyday walk. Friends, you cannot have hate in your heart. You cannot have hate and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's something wrong somewhere. Brother Donnie, don't you hate the sins of the world? I do, but I don't hate the sinner. Come on now. Don't you think we ought to kill all the homosexuals? I most certainly do not. Don't you think we ought to kill all the Jezebels? I do not. Well, let God take care of all that killing part. Let's just love and pray for him and do what we can to be the right kind. There's no command in the New Testament that tells us to go forth and slaughter people. Come on, children, say amen. No matter how much darkness they're in, it might be your light that'll set them free. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Now, can you imagine? Here is a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that professes Christianity and they hate their brother. Now, this wouldn't necessarily just be your flesh brother. But somebody that's in the same body, the same message that you claim, the same economy of Christianity, and yet they would hate you. And really, they're still living under the influence of the fifth dimension. The abyss. Tateo. The same chains that bind them demons are around many Christians' hands. Because they hate. And they hate passionately. It's amazing to me that many folks can hate more passionately than they can love passionately. I mean, their love is like an old turtle, you know. Well, I love God. I love everybody. But boy, when they get under hate, they are so passionate. They get so fired up. It's the mist of darkness which has permeated their souls.
Now let's walk over and pull down the blinds. Let's let the shades raise up on those doors. How do you do, lady? Are we strangers? You was 5 years ago when we was here. I saw you went through a line or something. You was healed then. Okay, now watch. Now we have a window into the supernatural and the shades are lifted. This woman walks up on the platform. And through this gift, God is now telling her, I was here 5 years ago in a meeting. And you was here 5 years ago. You got healed in that meeting 5 years ago. You were healed then. Between you and I comes a dark shadow. It's shaking and jumping. There's only one thing that can mean that. It's a demon. A demon of nervousness. Now, can you imagine? This being was one time an angel in the presence of God. And he said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. But he become apostate. And because his rank was not to be a prince over kingdoms, his rank as an angel was lower. So Satan assigned him to be a demon of nervousness. So you walk with God as an angel. You stand in the presence of God as an angel. You walk with devils and Satan and you become a demon of nervousness. There's many reasons I don't want to go back to the world. There's many reasons I don't want to backslide, nor do I want to go back to Pentecost. But this is one of them. Why would I want to leave being anointed by the presence of God? Why would I want to leave the light of this hour and go back to Pentecost and become a demon of nervousness, so to speak? What comparison, Brother Harold, would there be to being an angel of God on God's side? And then you become a demon of nervousness. And in that dimension, when you are seen, this is the way you appear. So you're standing there as a fallen angel, and this is your identity. You're shaking and quivering. Because this is your new assigned post. No thanks, devil. My worst day as a Christian is better than the best day living for you. Now watch, this demon has been assigned and held by chains of darkness. He's reserved in the fifth dimension. So this is his communication of travel. Shadows, darknesses, and streaks. So here the prophet now, being of the light, peers into the fourth dimension, by vision looks and see this spirit. Now it's shaking and jumping. That can only mean that that's a demon of nervousness. You think sometimes you've lost your mind. Is that right? You think sometimes you've lost your mind, but he's a liar. Now what a peculiar thing. This demon was not in this woman as far as the possession of her soul. But everywhere she would have went through the window of the fourth dimension, you would have saw it. A streak following her. Everywhere she went, there it was. And then in her mind she said, oh God, I'm crazy. I'm losing my mind. God, what's going on? Where's it coming from? This prisoner in the fifth dimension is merging into light, matter, time, science, and anointing this woman with these thoughts. Sure as there's a God in heaven, there'll be people delivered right here this morning. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah to God, children. Will you accept our God as being the King of the universe? No, but so he describes what he sees and then he describes the way she feels.
Sometimes you feel you've lost your mind. Is that right? But he is a liar. So he was the source of them thoughts. I'd love to be able to sing into that fourth dimension for a little bit if I could. Because I'd love to sing that nervous devil getting nervous. Now the devil tells a lot of these defectors that Brother Branham was a false prophet. But I guarantee you one thing. These demons that met him, they'd have a different story to tell. I wish Believe the Sign and some of these websites could interview some of these devils. I wish they could interview some of these demons that met the prophet of God. And they were so terrified, they would scream for help standing there in the presence of that anointed man of God. Satan tells them he's a false prophet, but he knows better himself. Satan will try to tell you there's three gods, but he believes there's one. He said, he's a liar. You're not. You're just as sane as anybody else. But he's trying to get you down, lady. Don't you pay no attention to that. Do you believe me to be his servant? Looky, let me tell you something. You tried so long to even get one place. You thought just like if you could put your foot, if you could start from right there, is that right? I'm not reading your mind, but you was praying about this. You said it many times in your thoughts. Now those of you that want to blaspheme as a false prophet, I'll give you the opportunity in your service to come right here and tell us our thoughts. Tell us what we pray about. Tell us the sincere desire of our hearts. Don't give me a bunch of words. Prove your power. You said many times in your thoughts, if I could just get one place to start from. I love this. This is your starting place. Right here. There's some words missing there in the tape. And he says, God's servants. Now watch. He says, thou devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're exposed. Come out of the woman. Isn't it amazing that a Christian can have a spirit in their body and not have it in their soul because their soul is sealed? Come out of the woman. Leave her. Go. Rejoicing, sister. You're free now. While we've got the shade open, let's look a little more. The only thing, sir, you sink deep. You cross bridges before you get to them. Take other things upon your heart. You're always planning something that never happens. It's only mentally nervous. It's a mental nervousness. Now watch this. That is right. You've been that way for years. But Jesus Christ is here to take it off of you. Oh, my. There's a dark shadow follows you all the time. Your conscience that something's near you like that at all times. So now, even though this man may not have had the ability by dimensional vision to see it was there, he felt its presence. Now children, don't get scared. I know demonology and all that scares people. But don't get scared. You're under the blood of Jesus. You ain't got nothing to worry about. He could feel that presence. He could feel that it was there. Do you believe that God's going to take it from you now? Satan, leave this man. Come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Go out of the man. I adjure thee by the living God that you torment him no more. Raise up your hand, sir. You're free for the first time since you was a child. I wonder if we could get this man's testimony. Would he like to stand up and say William Branham was a false prophet? Come on,
Praise God. Lady, we are strangers to each other. We are strangers to each other. I don't know you, but God knows you. Now quickly I begin to see like a little dark shadow moving. It's a wearisome spirit causing you to be nervous. This must have been an angel of low rank. He didn't even categorize for a big nervous devil. He was a worrisome spirit. You ever get them things on you? I do, as a child of God. You ever get up weary and things you think, what in the world's the matter? I mean, something just like it's hanging around you. Here it is, friends. It's from their prison house in the fifth dimension. I'll tell you what we need to do. I believe we let these devils rob us many days of our life, of joy and peace and happiness. I think we need to take our ground as sons and daughters of Abraham and say, away from me, you evil spirit. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. You get real nervous, don't you? You have a nervous condition, especially I see you kind of late of the afternoon like that. You get your most nervous. And sometimes you sit down from your work. That's right. Then you have something wrong in your back. Kidney trouble, that's in your back. Then you're wearing your glasses. That's from weak eyes. That was caused from some kind of something that happened like, as in smallpox. Something that settled in your eyes long ago. Can you imagine in this fourth dimension? He's just traveling back and forth. Present, past in a moment of time. Now when you get to that place that you can do that, I might listen to you. But until I won't. If you got something greater than this message, show it to me. You're hard-headed. You're from Missouri. No, I'm from a long ways from Missouri. I'm from eternity. Oh, my. Is that true? You believe you're in His presence? You believe that that's Him speaking through me? That wasn't my voice then. That was His. Friends, can you imagine when people make fun of this? And they ridicule this, what they're doing? Jesus said to call the works of the Holy Ghost an unclean spirit is to blaspheme. There's no forgiveness. Hell is enlarging our mouth. Her influence is permeating this earth, and human beings are being held captive by chains of darkness. And they are souls in prison now. Do you believe He's present to lay hands on you? What He'd say would happen, then you shall recover. Is that right? Come here. This I do in obedience to the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let this woman be healed. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go rejoicing now. And God be merciful and bless you. Would you like to peer a little more? Now you're here because you're nervous. That's the reason you act the way you do. It's because you're nervous. You're suffering from a shock. Isn't that right? A shock. I see you. You was in an automobile accident that caused a shock that's brought this on you. Can you imagine these demons from this other dimension watching our lives? Watching what people will say, watching automobile accidents, watching all kinds of things so they can attach themselves to us. Looking for weakness in humanity, looking for weakness in ourselves and weakness in our genes, and weakness in our DNA, and studying us to such a place that a cancer devil or a nervous devil studies your makeup and your parents and knows he'll be a real candidate for nervousness. You're not from this city. Neither you're from this state. You're from Michigan. From a place called Crystal Falls. Something or another on that order. That's right. You want to go home and be well?
then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe you're in His presence now, too. This man sitting behind you, come with you. Well, that's pretty neat, ain't it? So you move backwards in time and you not only see this woman, but you see the man sitting behind her. He actually come with her. If you believe with all your heart, you can be made well. Do you believe it? Come here. Oh God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, thy Son, take away the curse and may our sister be made completely whole. I ask in Jesus Christ's name and my hands upon her. Something's quiet now. You feel all right now. Now, if that's right, tell the audience you feel all right. The lady says, here's your opportunity, woman. Expose this false prophet to the world. Tell him he's a liar. But the lady says, I feel all right. Hallelujah. And Donnie says, I feel all right. And you say, and you say, and you say, and you say. Jesus makes you well. She says, yes. Amen. See? Are you German? No. I'm Finnish. Are you Finn? Finnish. Kitos. Have faith in God. Can you imagine when this gift was on the earth? All of hell must have been a buzz. You ever wonder why in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus came upon the earth, demon possession reared its head up in such a display that had never even been seen in the 4,000 years of the Old Testament? Wonder why all of a sudden when Jesus comes upon the earth, people go to screaming out with demons and demonic manifestation become even more visible and tangible than it was before He was here? Because in some ways, devils are dumb. Now you'd think they'd have enough sense to hold their peace. But actually the reason they do that is they're afraid. They actually get scared. I can feel some of them right now. I love it when it gets this way too. Woo! I love it when they're shaking in their boots. You better shake, devil, because the King of eternity is here. Not us, not us preachers, not us people, but the King Himself. You're here because you're always nervous. You imagine. You've had the shock. God comes down and delivers you. Notice now an expectation. Do you believe me now to be His prophet? Go eat your supper. Your stomach trouble will go away from you. And it won't bother you no more. You believe that? Then go do as I tell you. Quit worrying. You're a deep thinker. Now this is the person's nature. How do you do something that is opposite to your nature? You take the promise of God. Now this individual was not given 47 quotes because I wasn't their pastor. Like I preached to you a series on this part and that part and that part to help you get it. This person had these simple words. Quit worrying. Would that have been enough for you? Glory. Quit worrying. You're a deep thinker. You're always taking other people's troubles to yourself. Crossing bridges before you get to it. You're always planning something that never happens. Quit thinking like that. Be happy. And rejoice. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. It makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach cramps you. It won't hurt you no more. Go on and eat. And be happy. And rejoice. And serve Jesus Christ. Now what's happened? The prince of Persia. The kings of Persia. The prince of Grecia. This is not him Brother Bram's dealing with. He's dealing with these angels that were pushed into this dimension of disease and sickness. This is why a doctor with their best x-rays, their best machines, and they'll operate. And they said, this ought to do this. And they operate. And it wasn't successful. Why? Because they get in there and they'll go to looking around. All that blood and all that tissue. And that spirit will get right underneath an organ. That spirit will get right underneath a blood clot. Or right underneath a lump of tissue. And there he'll hide. And that doctor will look at the nurses, close him up. Everything was successful. My, everything ought to be good. And you wake up. You say,
I don't feel no better, doc.
The doctor said, I just don't understand that. It don't make any sense.
Well, it just so happens today that I have a laser machine. All preachers do. That goes into the fourth dimension.
I've had LASIK surgery on my eyes, and I've had different procedures, as many of you all have. But you know what? They don't make one yet. They could go into the fourth dimension. They have to wait till they come out of the fourth dimension, and then they're manifesting these three here. But God, by His Word, has a power that goes right there to the very start.
Brother, coming with you comes a black spirit. Now, how would you like to have this for a companion? Brother, coming with you comes a black spirit, which is death. It's a devil. Cancer. There's a lady sitting there also with cancer. Cancer on the pelvis bone. Is that right? I see you. I hear somebody. Your name is Miss Roy Zook Zeeks.
Can you imagine he's sharing in the dimension? Apparently God needs to turn the volume up a little bit. Roy Zeeks. If that's right, wave your hand. Now that devil pulling between you, it's off of both of you now. Can you imagine? Up walks this man and this poor old dumb ignoramus devil. He's dumb enough to go to church with this guy. I hope all of y'all brought your pet devils today. I just hope you don't leave with them. So this devil goes to church with this man. Poor old ignoramus. And he's got enough brash about him to walk right up before a prophet of God. So here comes this man and this companion right behind him. And you imagine now the shades are pulled. So he looks right into that dimension and says, oh,
see, you got a pal with you.
Now about this time, this devil, he goes to really feeling shaky. And that spirit is shaking and quivered. And he's saying, help me. Help me. Somebody help me. But it's in that other dimension that all the rest of those thousands of people can hear. But he's screaming, help! Help! And there's a woman sitting over there that's got the same kind of demon on her, cancer. So this one screams to that one, which leaves a trail of darkness between both of them. And this one tattletailed on that one. And now they both get cast out. Now, when you can do that, then you can talk to me. Watch this, and we'll close. That devil pulling between yourself, both of you now, it's light. It's light between you now. Go believing with all of your heart. Praise be to God, he says. Satan lost that battle. Hallelujah, he says. The devil calls to one another. They're screaming and calling one for help. As I said last night, at least they've got enough sense to ask for it. Some of you get in the awfulest shape ever was before you ever ask help. Don't tell me a devil's smarter than you are. At least they know when they're in trouble. If this was a false prophet, why would they have to scream for help? They wouldn't fear him. They wouldn't fear the prayer of a false prophet.
Now, can you imagine how humiliating for this being who was one time in the presence of God? Who was hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now he screams. Now he begs. Because this is now his new assignment. Don't marvel, children, that people could sit under the revealed word. Holler, amen. Glory. Praise God, I see it. In a year's time, 5 years' time, that bunch of false witnesses, bunch of liars, bunch of devils. Can't you see what apostasy does? It transforms these angels into being screamers and weakened. And what Gabriel couldn't do, a prophet of God with the Holy Ghost could. Now watch this insight and we'll close the blinds. The devils call one to another. They're screaming and calling one for help. That's the reason I call for your prayer. Pray for me. Help. Keep praying. You see, it's a power. It's a battle. It's the devil fight. Wrong fighting against right. Right fighting against wrong. Quit being skeptic. Believe with all of your heart. Be expecting you'll be next. The Holy Spirit's healing also the building. Be expecting to be next. Now what the outcome of that is, I know not. I know the thing left them. There was a dark streak between them. And this one was calling for mercy. Help, help, help. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. Now this is what the prophet is hearing in that dimension. Mercy, mercy. Why would a devil say this in the presence of a false prophet? Come on, children. So you imagine, this is what they say in that realm. I wonder when we come here and sit and hear the word preached, if they don't come among us and say, keep him from believing. Keep Greg from believing. Keep Tim from believing. Make Tim think Donnie's throwing that at him. Make Terry think that's the flesh. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. And then he'll get on this person, that person. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. We're not fighting this battle with flesh. It's not my flesh fighting your flesh. It's the Holy Ghost fighting demons. So this one was calling for mercy. Help, help, help. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. I looked down to see where it was and I seen the woman. I seen another woman calling her. I don't know what it was. Called something or another. I couldn't make it out just right. And that dark streak all left. I guess I had enough sense to figure out we better get out of here before we get warped on out. Let me tell you the sad thing about it is. Some of those demons that left this person and that one, there was people sitting there doubting and questioning. And they simply found a new residence. So they come to Brother Branham's meeting and this person got healed and another one left with cancer. Another one left with epilepsy. Another left with this and that and the other because they sat there and doubted. Daniel, let's move over several pages. Over to, be right near to the last page probably that you have. He that is in you. Paragraph 203. Listen to this. It happened in Germany when them 15 witch doctors on each side of me. Billy and Brother Organbright wouldn't let them see me. And they said, we'll cause the tent to blow away. They sat down there with their enchantments and called on their God the devil. And here he come with a storm. Now listen,
They called on their God, the devil, and here he come with a storm. About 30,000, 40,000 Germans out there, and that tent was raising up and down like this. They took a scissor and cut a feather and pointed it back like that, going through all their enchantments and saying the three holy words. They'd say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Lulu, 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 Lulu. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, Lulu, Lulu. Calling on the devil. Saying, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Going like that, and actually the storm come up. Sure, he's the prince of the powers of the air. Satan. And they call the storm. That great big tent sitting out like that, oh my, it'd cover a city block. Built out of two by fours and canvas tacked over it. And the wind got under it. Now those of you that ain't never been in a tent meeting and don't know how that happens, that's quite a sight to behold. It's bad enough, and you got one from Nashville Tent and Awning Company, and you got poles that big around, much less than if you got a piece of canvas strapped over on two by fours. Now listen to this. The wind got up under it and raised it up like that, and the wind lightning flying around. I just continually preached. And they was going into the big enchantment, going on and on like that, saying those holy words. The three high holy words, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, on both sides of that. And I've seen him bow and surrounded by devils. And I said to Brother Louster, don't interpret this. I said, Brother Argenbrot, just pray. I said, Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, you sent me here. I set my foot on this German soil in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you sent me here, that cloud has no power over me. It does not, because I'm anointed and sent here for the salvation of this people. Maybe you didn't need this message. Maybe you didn't need this prophet. I did. I was in a terrible shape. I command you in Jesus' name to depart from here. And the thunder's going bang, bang, bang. Went and rolled away right straight over the tent. Blowed back, and the sun shined out. What was it? God once again separated the light from the darkness. Within 10 minutes, there was about 10,000 around the altar screaming for mercy to see the power of God. Why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, for those of you that are leaving the message and you agnostics and whatever more, when you can do this, give me a call. Let me tell you something, friend. He's the same God right here today. Now, this brother man was in Karlsruhe, Germany. What was it, 1955, something like that? But here we are in 2014. Maybe the storms of your life. Maybe the wind has gone underneath the tent of your humanity. And it's blowing and shaking. You don't know what to do, which way to go. Sickness in your home, troubles with your children, whatever more. That same Lord Jesus is right here today. Satan may not be saying Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but he may be reminding you of your mistakes or your failures or whatever that he's saying to you. But the same Lord Jesus can come right through here today and let the sun go to shining on your heart. Now this is one thing you want to look for. Sometimes he commands the clouds to roll back, Sometimes he commands the sun to shine. He speaks to the storm and causes the storm to disappear. Other times, he speaks to you in the midst of the storm and gives you strength to ride over it. But many times we pray with our mind made up and we think it's going to be the clouds is going to dissipate every time. That's not always the way he'll do it. Sometimes he speaks peace to the winds. Sometimes he speaks peace to you. I'll take it anyway. Won't you? I'll take his help. I need his help. I won't tell him what to do. I just say, Lord, I need it. Let's bow our heads together if you would. The kingdom of darkness. It's all around us everywhere. We know. But my friends, don't become so engrossed in that you forget the kingdom of light. It has so permeated our souls. I remember a preacher laying hands on people, and Brother Bam talking about it. They took x-rays of whatever it was of that man laying hands on the sick, and they saw streams of light come from that man's hand going to sick folks. So it works on the other side for us as well. Oh, sure, Satan's going to be allowed to do all these things. But remember, our God, he's great and mighty. Oh, yes. Brother Branham talks about they put out posters and said the FBI was going to expose Brother Branham. They come to that great meeting and these two girls had testified that God had healed them. They said, oh, it's our fault. It's our fault, Brother Branham. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So he goes to church that night and said, all right, I understand the FBI is going to expose me and I was being a false prophet. I wish they'd come right now, he said. I give you your opportunity. So he stood there and waited, tens of thousands of people standing there. He said, all right, Mr. FBI agent, come on and expose me for being a false prophet. If you do, this will be the first one that ever done it. He said, because every other FBI agent that come to my meetings got saved. And then the Lord showed him a vision. He said, it ain't no FBI agents. It's two backslid preachers up there in the balcony. Oh, my. And whenever he called that out, they hid behind the pews and got down. He said, don't you hide. Everybody turn around and look at him. And Brother Branham said, you think he's something in miracles, you ought to watch him in battle. Woo! You ought to watch him in battle. Let Satan do what he wants to do. Let him howl. Let him do whatever. Oh, my. But what I want to do is stand back and watch my king in my battles. Don't you, children? Don't stand there and be defeated. Don't think I don't know the way out. You rebuke that devil and say, my God will make a way for me. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me last night and today. I've been so excited about this and under such anticipation. I was so afraid I wouldn't be able to bring it right, that I'd mess it up. And I've just been so nervous about it, Lord. I'm just not gifted enough to bring many of these things like many men are. But I pray my little feeble effort, Lord God, there was enough said that it would help you children. Lord, we're not Brother Branham. We don't want to be. But yet we have our battles, our storms of life, the things that we go through. He was mindful of those German people. It's amazing to me that out of Germany, Satan sent Hitler. These years after the war, the German people were so beat down. Me being to Germany myself and talking to some of the people there, they were not identified with that stuff. But the shame they have bore because of it, and their nation been beat down through the years since then. But it showed that you loved them and you sent them a prophet. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I pray today for your children. Maybe in the storms of their life, Satan is telling them you don't love them, you don't care for them, you won't move this, that, the other. But Lord God, may you speak peace. We're not going to tell you who to speak it to, whether you speak it to the thunder and the lightning and the winds just dissipate and blow away, or whether you simply speak it to our hearts and you give us strength to go through the storm. It's amazing that you stood there in the rail of the ship that day, and know the devil had got in the winds. It shows that those storms wasn't from you, or that would have been you rebuking yourself. But Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he has the ability to move on the winds and the seas and cause tumult. And he took those winds and all that, and he got inside of them and stirred them up. And you stood there at the bridle of the ship. The prophet said, as a man, you're tired, you're weary from preaching. The disciples got all tore up and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He said, I can see him as he comes to the bridle of the ship, pulls his little weak shoulders together, and he stands out there and he says, peace, be still. Hallelujah. But yet, we look and see those same shoulders standing there as they're led from Pilate's hall. They strip the clothes from your back. They take the Roman whip, the cat of nine tails. And instead of now your shoulders being pulled back, your shoulders are beaten. They're whipped until your bones are poking through your back. Within pieces of glass and metal, they tore strips of meat from your back and you look like a butchered animal. So this time, instead of speaking the Romans out of existence, the angels came and ministered to you prior to this to give you strength to go through it. So Lord God, whether you speak to our winds or you give us strength, whichever way we need it, Lord, grant it to us. Forgive us for complaining, Lord. Forgive us for grumbling about our trials and our tests. Help us, Lord God, I pray. Won't you just raise your hands today in the presence of the King. Now the same God that looked through this open window into this dimension so many years ago and was able to see things behind people. I'm not a prophet, so I don't have the ability to do that. Rest of his brothers, you don't have the ability. But the Lord God has the ability. And I really don't think that that's so much what's needed today anyway. If it was, it would be here among us. But he wants to bring his presence so real before you that you'll be able to believe it and accept it. As I read to you last night, when that woman come up and there was a streak of darkness following her, and the prophet said, the light come down. And when it did, it come down near her. She accepted it and it delivered her. That's the way we want to believe today. Whatever your need is, whatever your problem is, if that light comes down by you today, brother, don't turn it down. Accept it. Accept it. Oh, Lord Jesus. While we're in his presence right now, let's just meditate on him now. Sing it for us, Harry. Just for a few moments now. Close your eyes. Maybe it's not for you today. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your brother, your mama, your daddy. Bring their need into the presence of the King.
In the presence,
Lord Jesus.
Of Jehovah.
Yes, Lord God. What do you need from him, children? Lay your need there in his presence.
Prince of peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended.
Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you today, maybe you don't have a need. John, listen in prayer for the needs of those that are here, those that are streaming the service. May the Lord God minister to you. May the Lord God, from his great throne of mercy,
hallelujah.
Darkness has to flee.
In the presence of the Lord God Almighty.
right here in this atmosphere. What can he do in this atmosphere? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it now. Mercy.
In and out of situations.
Yes, Lord God. Now in the presence of the angels of God. This is worship. This create an atmosphere that the Lord God can walk among.
For the answers that
the angels of God are here. The elect angels are here to minister.
Then I come into his presence. All my doubts become clear. And in that sacred moment,
yes,
no doubts can interfere in the presence.
Oh, in the presence of Jehovah.
Of Jehovah. Of rest
for us
to rest, a place to find the answer.
Think of it
in our hour of distress, and there's never any reason for you to give up. In despair,
oh, but I love
to
that.
Slip away
and breathe his name. Hallelujah!
You will surely
find
him there.
Yes, Lord.
In the presence.
Oh, that's it, little bride. Worship him. Just raise our hands and give him a wave offering while we're in his presence. Thank God. Thank God.
Oh, hallelujah. Now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're so hid in God by Christ that the devil can't even find our soul. He may lie to our flesh. He may lie to our spirit. But our souls will never believe his gospel of defection. Our souls will never believe his gospel of reprobatism. Never. We'll never turn away from our King. We are part of his word. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. The hour of darkness is pressing, Lord. It is so pressing all against us everywhere, economically, financially, in our homes, everywhere, Father. But we know, Lord, it's right before the break of the dawning of the new day. That the darkness, Lord, as I've said in the woods many times in a tree stand, Lord, waiting for it to come daylight. What a peculiar time it is. And it seemed like that darkness will hover and hover and hover that last hour before the breaking of the day. And you think, will it ever come? And all of a sudden, the King begins to come up. And when he comes up, he begins to drive away. I've sat there many times before the daylight and think I see a bear, think I see a deer, think I see this, think I see that. But all it takes is the illumination of the King. And it turns out to be a branch or this or that or the other. That's the way it is with our fears and our doubts and our questions and our worries, Lord. We may look and try to peer through the darkness and think, oh, what is it? What's this? What's that? But once the King comes up and illuminates the situation, we know where we are. We know where we're going. We know who we belong to. We know our destiny, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you today, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hey, let's sing something together just before we go. Oh, children, have you enjoyed your dinner at the table of the King today? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Once more, we have been invited to pull our feet under the table of the King. He has brought out his great spiritual culinary artistry. If we have tasted the delicacies of his word. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got something on your heart? Praise God.
Here we are.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The saints before we go.
In your presence.
Oh, I just hate it that we have to live here, really.
Lifting holy hands to you.
Sing it to him now, children. One day we'll never have to part from this.
Here we are. Praising Jesus for the things he's brought us.
Now we long for the day, Lord Jesus, when we'll always be there. Hallelujah.
Here we are.
To speak your holy name.
me, that you love me just the same.
Everybody now. Oh yes, Lord God.
Praise in Jesus. His tender mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner and his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord. Yes, my hope is in this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord from this time on. Stand in awe within the presence of the Lord and learn the wisdom of the ages alive, whom the raging of the sea subside. The living sacrifice, my only source of is in the Lord from this time on and nevermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord from this time.